Omaganatvananda sya gananjana salakaya chaksu undalitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadam aham dadati svapadantikam vandeham shigro shiyuta paratamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savajutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Svitamscha Hey Krishna, Karna Sindo, Dhinabando, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavane Shri, Vrishabhanu Siddhadevi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakapa Dhruvyascha, Kripa Sindhu Devisha, Adhina Vahevyo Vaishnavevyo Mohan Maha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shai Vaita Dharavar Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrida Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Thank you for giving me this opportunity to try to say something about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said that as the birds fly in the sky, according to their ability, some higher and some lower, so everyone can glorify Krishna according to their level of understanding. And Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not very easy to understand. Therefore, all we can do is try to say a few words, trying to, by his mercy and by the mercy of the devotees, say something of meaning, so that we can advance in the experience of appreciating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mood, especially love and separation. We're just singing Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Doya Koramore. Our whole philosophy is that we're trying to mean what we said. In other words, as soon as we actually mean that, as soon as we actually request Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us his mercy, then he is not a miser. He will immediately give us his mercy. We just have to ask for it. So our philosophy is to convince us that what he's given, his mercy, is worthy to be asked for, desirable. The more we desire his mercy, then the more he'll give us his mercy. Because it is said that in this world, no one is more merciful than he is. Because what he's giving is real mercy. If someone is about to be killed, he may ask for mercy. Please give me mercy. And perhaps the person won't be killed. If the person has a little mercy, because in this age people don't have any mercy. If you ask for mercy, you're probably killed anyhow. But if the person has a little mercy, he may not be killed, but Krishna, or the laws of material nature, will kill the person anyhow. Because this is a world where everyone is killed, there's no mercy here in the material world. Ultimately, Krishna says, Kalos Nibharatar Shiva, I am coming as death and I'm killing everyone. So even time, Krishna, in the form of time, there's no mercy. he kills everyone here. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful because even people have no desire to become Krishna conscious, he's running after them to become Krishna conscious. Or he's tricking them somehow or another, helping them revive their consciousness of Krishna. And by reviving one's consciousness of Krishna, one enters into a transcendental, blissful existence full of consciousness. What that means, translated, it means we actually become happy, we actually become aware of everything as it really is, including who we are. Sometimes the devotees tell each other, it's good to see you. Well, if we could see ourselves, it would be quite good. But to speak of anyone else, we have yet to understand who we actually are, what to speak of who anyone else is, what our actual identity is. Because the material world is a place of sleeping. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Wake up, sleeping souls. Our main problem is that we're thinking we're awake, but we're actually asleep. And sometimes we may have some experience, we think now I've awakened, or we may understand something, we think we've awakened. But only when we enter into the transcendental relationship that we have with Krishna and one of the four primary rasas can we actually say that we're awake, otherwise that we're asleep. And to enter into that relation with Krishna, we have to develop a proper mood. The spiritual world is simply an exchange of moods. Here is an exchange also of mood, lust, anger, and greed, practically speaking. And here, manifesting lust, anger, and greed, everyone's trying to exploit each other, grossly or subtly. When it's subtle, we think we call it love, and when it's more gross, we call it hate. But it is all exploitation. Here in the material world, everyone is trying to pretend that I am the Lord. Of course, some people are trying to be bigger Lords than others, relatively bigger Lords. Someone may be an Adolf Hitler, or a Stalin, or a George Bush. Anyhow. Not necessarily they're all equally in the same category. And someone may be trying to sell something on the street. But the whole idea is that, principally in this age, everyone is interested in economic development, the sense gratification. No one is interested in dharma, religiosity, for moksha. For obtaining our transcendental relation with Krishna in the mood of service. Dharma principally teaches us submission. We have to submit to Krishna. So that sounds very terrible to the conditioned soul. Oh, how horrible. Submit. Bow down, mister. Bow down, mister. Oh, yes. So we see this little guy bowing down before the big God. His hands are shaking. I bow. Don't hit me, God. Don't hit me. So this is the image we have in the material world. Of submission, a big God, a big stick, bow down. Oh, quack, oh, yes, sorry, didn't bow down quick enough. That the big, powerful person is crushing the little, insignificant person. Bow down, surrender. And for the most part, this is the image of religiosity which is conveyed in Kali Yuga. By most religions, that God is a wrathful person, and if you don't bow down quick enough, then he steps on you. You get squashed. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing a different aspect of submission. Ashisha Vapadam Panishtamam. That he's showing us how to be submissive to himself. And he's relishing becoming submissive to himself. Radha Krishna Pranaya. Ladini Shakti Asma. That Radha and Krishna, there are two identities, pranaya. There are loving exchanges, Radha Krishna pranaya. Ladini Shakti Asma. they're principally ekatvan ekatmanavapi. They're principally one person, but they become two. Vedam, kato kakao, in order to exchange loving feelings. Those loving feelings are based upon being submissive, being receptive, being attentive, being anxious to satisfy the beloved. That desire is what prakriti satisfies Krishna and satisfies all of us. Because we're all of the same nature as Krishna. Therefore, the mood of loving exchange is trying to be manifested here in the material world, but it's actually manifested in the spiritual world in the exchange between Radha and Krishna. That desire to please Radha, Srimati Radharani has a desire to please Krishna, and Krishna has a desire to please Srimati Radharani, and in this exchange of feeling, they take pleasure. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Arpitam Sharim Sharapuruna Yavatirna Kalo, every age of Kali, or at least once in every day of Brahma, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and he shows this exchange of feelings between him, Krishna, and Srimati Radharani. But he takes the role of a devotee. So for us it's very significant. Just like, for instance, Krishna in Vrindavan, he's a little cowherd boy. I don't know how little he is, but he's a little cowherd boy. But he's the most beloved when he comes home from the pasturing grounds at night with his cows and his cowherd boyfriend. It's not on the schedule to go out and greet him. It's not that there's a schedule on all the gopis' walls. Krishna comes back at 6 o'clock before dusk. And we have to go out and greet him. And they're thinking, I had so many other things to do. I haven't finished eating, and now I got to go out and greet Krishna. It's not on the schedule. They all rush out to greet Krishna. Even if they're not supposed to, still that's what they want to do. And why do they rush out to greet Krishna? Because as soon as Krishna approaches Vrindavan, there's a whole ocean of love that overwhelms everyone. And they drown in the ocean of love. They can't sink deep enough into it. And the exchange between Krishna and all his devotees there is very intimate and personal. It is not that they're simply going out because everyone else is going out and they don't want to be left out. No, it's a very intimate and personal exchange between Krishna and all his beloveds in Vrindavan. So they rush out every day, even if it's not, they don't even think about it. It just happens spontaneously and naturally. And even if they're engaged in some other duty, for instance, if they're feeding their children, because there are no children like that in Goloka Vrindavan, in Gokul there is. They put down their children, they rush out to see Krishna. If they're feeding their husbands, they rush out, stop feeding. Everything happens automatically. As we hear, when the gopis went to meet Krishna in the dead of night, when Krishna played upon his flute, then even if they were putting on makeup, they only put on half of it. If they had to put on their clothes, they put the top half on the bottom and the bottom on the top. They didn't even think. They just rushed out to see Krishna. So that's the natural feelings for all of Yankees. To be so spontaneously attracted to Krishna that there's no thought, there's no impediment, there's no obstacle, there's no other alternative but to love Krishna and rush out to greet him, to meet him, to serve him, to try to please him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's showing that mood of love for Krishna. And he comes once in a day of Brahma in order to manifest that transcendental loving exchanges between the devotee and the Supreme Lord. In the spiritual world, Krishna is a cowherd boy and everyone loves him. Not because he's God. They don't even think that he's God. And if he was God, they wouldn't consider him very important anyhow. They think Narayan is God. Nanda Maharaj, he has an altar, and on the altar is Narayan. And he worships Narayan principally to assure that Krishna is protected. Therefore, when Krishna is taken away by the Trinavarta demon, and the Trinavarta demon falls on the ground, all the residents of Vrindavan, they conclude that Trinavarta demon dropped dead because Nanda Maharaj worshipped Narayan. So it was actually Narayan and Nanda Maharaj who killed the Trinavarta demon. They never think that Krishna had killed the Trinavarta demon. When Putana dies, it's because Nanda Maharaj worships Narayan, and therefore Narayan killed the Putana demon. And it's true, Krishna doesn't kill the Putana demon, it's the Narayan feature within him. And maybe it's because Nanda Maharaj was worshipping him. So maybe it's all true. In any case, even though they consider Krishna maybe God, they don't take it very seriously. They're principally they're thinking he's a coward boy. And their love for him is unlimited. If they thought he was God, that would subtract from their loving feelings. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and teaches us how to love Krishna in this age, he comes principally in his feature of Ladini Shakti, internal pleasure, potency, exchanges between love. In the other incarnations, even Lord Krishna, it is only part of his incarnation that he's exchanging loving pastimes with his devotees in the role of cowherd boy. In the beginning he's in Vrindavan and then he goes to Mathura and kills many warriors like Kalyavana and Jarasandha. Then he goes to Dwarka and he fights more and more asuras. Only for 16 years out of his 120 something years is he in Vrindavan, showing sweet, loving pastimes. And even during that time, apparently he's killing so many demons. Every day, Yogamaya is sending one or two demons a day for Krishna to kill. But in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we don't find so many demons being killed. Instead, it is obvious and evident, much more obvious in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, that the internal loving exchange, the sweetness of the transcendental potency is being manifested. The internal energy is principally how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests his pastimes. Although the pastimes of killing the demons in Krishna Lila is also beneficial for the demons, but it's not as beneficial as in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, because in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes he's giving everyone Krishna prema. Krishna and his pastimes in Vrindavan, he's killing demons, but they're only generally getting moksha, merging into Krishna's effulgence. But here, Namo Mahabharanaya, Krishna Prima Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namani Gurat Yushe Namaha. Srila Rupa Goswami has praised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he's giving very freely Krishna Prema, which is inconceivable. The topmost level of perfection, he's giving out very freely in the role of a devotee. That the sweetness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is such that everyone will become attracted. Vaja Vaja Vaj Chaitanya Nitai Suridan Vishaya Kori. What was that? That Deko Ori Bhai Shubhuman Bhuvanai Emana Dole Adatta Pashu Pashu Dure Pashna Vitari Shuni Gelo Vinagata. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming, and even the animals in the forest, they get prema. So what to speak of the human beings? If they're fortunate enough to participate in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, especially the Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names. The chanting of the holy names to some people may seem ordinary, And even to ourselves, we may not understand the significance of the Sankirtan movement. But the same topmost transcendental happiness that's enjoyed by Krishna's associates in the Rasa Lila is enjoyed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates in the Sankirtan movement. It is the same rasa dance. There is no difference between them, but the rasa dance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu includes the rasa of the rasa dance of the Sankirtan movement includes the rasa dance of Krishna and his associates, gopis in Vrindavan. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us how to approach Krishna through the mood of being a devotee, gopi bharta pada kamalara dasa dasa anudasa. And that role of being a devotee is sweeter than the role of being God. Here in the material world, everyone is coming to become God. And indeed, Krishna is so kind to the conditioned souls, to the extent of their piety, they're allowed to be God, even up to the level of Brahma or above Brahma, and go to some other place and cover it through the universe or Maha Shiva Loka, and one could become God. Indeed, everyone is relishing some kind of happiness being God here. But when God comes, he doesn't want to become God, he wants to become a devotee of God. So that's the difference between the conditioned souls and God. Here God comes to become a devotee, and here God's devotees come to become God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows us it's better to be a devotee of God than to be God. That if one wants happiness, which is what everyone is searching for, it is better to become a devotee of God than to become the Supreme Lord. Here, to become the Lord is advertised as being happiness. But everyone is looking for happiness. For instance, if you hear that sugar cane is very nice, very sweet and very healthy. And if you ask, what does sugar cane look like? Well, it looks like bamboo. So if someone goes out and buys bamboo, thinking that it's like sugar cane and starts chewing it, well, it will not get very much sweetness. It's been advertised as very sweet. It's almost like sugar cane, but one will simply won't find any sweetness in it. Although it's the same activity as chewing sugar cane. Similarly, here in the material world, it's advertised certain activities will produce happiness, but they actually don't produce any sweetness. One has to take up the real activity, which is loving Krishna, service to Krishna, through the service to Krishna's devotees, through the parampara, through the Prabhupada, more than anyone else has stressed parampara. Now, of course, we have to understand what parampara is. Parampara doesn't mean simply the formality of initiation. Real parampara, Srila Arjuna Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, has shown parampara means accepting the disciplines of conclusion of being a servant. That the more one becomes a servant of the servants of Lord Chaitanya's disciple succession, then the more one enters into the mood of being a servant of Krishna through the previous acharyas who have that mood. That's why they're in our disciple succession, because they have taken up that mood of service to Krishna and his devotees. Through the six Goswamis who have written extensively about that mood of love and separation and service to the devotees in that mood. Through the Panchatattva. And the Panchatattva, they're relishing the mood of unalloyed love between Krishna and his devotees. Selfless love. Exemplified by the exchange of love between Radha and Krishna, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting presently in this age of Kali. Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishna Sango Pangas Parashidam Jagnai Sankirtana Praya Yati Hi Sumeda Saha. That he is manifesting through the Sankirtan movement, through the chanting of Hare Krishna, that mood of unalloyed Krishna and the devotees. Therefore, accepting that idea of parampara, that those who have that mood, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Madhavendra Puri as being in the mood of love of separation, or at least manifesting for the first time in this age, at least, mood of love and separation. And when he found one Brahmin in South India who had the same mood, he immediately understood he's a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. He didn't have to go up to him and ask him, who did you get initiated by? And if he said someone else, he said, oh, I made a mistake, sorry. No, he understood that he was a real disciple of Madhavendra Puri because he had a mood of love and separation from Krishna. And only one who is a disciple in the real sense of the term of Madhavendra Puri could have that love and separation that this Brahman was displaying. So that is real parampara, accepting the mood, the disciple's conclusion of being a completely submissive servant of the servant of the servant in the same mood of loving service that was displayed by Srimati Radharani. Krishna, as we know, he's taking the mood of Srimati Radharani in this age because that mood is the topmost mood of 101% surrender to Krishna, having no other thought or desire than to please Krishna. And that's manifested in Srimati Radharani's love, feelings of love, the internal reasons. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to understand Srimati Radharani's love, that unalloyed feeling that she'd do anything to please Krishna. There's no thought whatsoever of her own personal satisfaction. For us, that's inconceivable because we're in these material bodies and we're walking around the bodies demanding so many things from us. And if we don't fulfill the demands of the body, it's not that they go away, but they become more intense. If one stops eating, at least for some time, just like today's a fast day, if we have no other business than to stop eating, then the body says, why did you stop eating? And then it goes, talks to us a little louder, why did you stop eating? And the voice, then the stomach starts in, rumbling, why did you stop eating? And the tongue starts rumbling, why did you stop eating? Everything, the whole body gets louder and louder, why did they stop eating? That's the nature of material existence. The body is ever demanding. Kamadi nam, katidam, katida, palitas, durni deshas, tesham, ayijata, na. Karuna Natrapana Pashanti, that it is a master over the conditioned soul, over ourselves, and because we're under the influence of illusion, it is a very strong master. A master that we cannot deny. So to conceive of having another master is very difficult for us. Someone we can be equally submissive to. It is not that we're not submissive. It is not that only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the unalloyed devotees of Krishna are submissive. We're 100% submissive. We're just submissive to the wrong thing. We're 100% sold out and devoted to this body and mind. So that same dedication when put on Krishna, that's called Krishna consciousness. But presently it's inconceivable to us. How can anyone be so surrendered? But we are also surrendered. Every conditioned soul is surrendered. But to the external energy of Krishna, that's all. Surrender to our mental concoction, surrender to our senses, surrendered. We have to be surrendered because that's our position. But originally we're surrendered to Krishna. The difference is, when we surrender to this material energy in the form of this body or the mind, whatever, it kicks us and demands more surrender. And when we surrender to Krishna, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his teachings, then the result is that Krishna surrenders to us. It is a reciprocal relationship. Instead of being beaten by the illusory energy, we get blessed by Krishna, and Krishna becomes a servant of his devotee. This body will never become our... It's serving us by kicking us. So it is serving us. It kicks us hard. You rascal. You don't want to serve Krishna? Whack! You think, wow, why are you doing this? Because you're a fool and rascal. Well, I'm going to kick you harder and harder until you finally wake up and realize you're supposed to become a servant of Krishna if you want real happiness. So, as we surrender to the body, it'll kick us harder and harder for our own benefit, although we may not be able to understand it. But if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will embrace us tighter and tighter, with more and more loving feelings. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us how we surrender to Krishna. He's God Himself. No one can be a more surrendered devotee than He is. No one can be more humble than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one can be a more better servant of His devotees. No one can praise His devotees. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was praising Haridas Thakur, it appeared that he had 100 mouths speaking Haridas Thakur's glories. It wasn't a show, it's his heartfelt feelings was his devotees. He feels, Krishna feels, he can never repay his devotees for even the smallest service. When Draupadi cried out, "Hey Govinda," that Lord Krishna, he felt indebted to Draupadi, and he felt he could not repay her, and more at every moment, that feeling of debt within his heart is increasing. Even now, he's feeling more indebted, just because with great love and affection, Draupadi called out, "Hey Govinda." Similarly, any service a devotee renders, Krishna is so soft-hearted that he feels indebted. Even if it may not be unalloyed service, still he feels debt to the devotee. For that reason, it is neha vikramana shasti pratyavayo navidite svabham apyasi dharma svetrayate mahatobaya. And this path is no loss of diminution, and even a little advancement can protect one from the greatest danger. The reason is that Krishna, within our heart, he sees whatever little service big service we're rendering, and he never forgets it. He feels more and more indebted at every moment, and therefore the service is permanent. Similarly, this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so powerful that it will help or induce countless living entities to take up some kind of service to Lord Krishna and therefore become eligible to gradually make advance and go back to the spiritual world. It's Kevala Ananda Kanda, joyful service to Krishna, although at first, due to the jaundice-like condition of the soul, that the soul is in presently, it may not recognize how joyful it is. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it as joyful as possible, dancing, chanting, and feasting. That's what goes on in the spiritual world. Dakshimati Radharani, she's cooking and Krishna's eating. And all his cowherd boyfriends are eating. And they're eating too. And they're dancing. Just like we heard that song, "I could have danced all night." But they actually dance all night. Every night. And sometimes their night is 311,040,000,000,000 years they're dancing here. And they think it's just an ordinary night. Because they're so much absorbed in the dance that 311,040,000,000,000 years goes so quickly. And here we're thinking, oh, this Krishna consciousness process is so slow. I've been a devotee 30 years and I haven't achieved perfection. And when one becomes Krishna conscious, time will become very quick. But because we're not Krishna conscious, therefore time seems to go very slowly. It is not due to our Krishna consciousness, it's due to our lack of Krishna consciousness that time seems to go so slowly. But as we factually become conscious of Krishna, we'll go beyond time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us a very simple process to become Krishna conscious, but it is very difficult at the same time because we have to accept the mood of service which we haven't had before. We have to accept a different object of worship other than whatever temporary material body we're presently in. To fast, to deny the senses is one thing. Even to deny our minds is one thing. To deny our conceptions of life is one thing. But to give up our false ego, that is very difficult. To give up this idea that I'm going to become a surrendered person to someone. We don't mind being a surrendered person to illusion, because illusion will convince us that we're God, or we can become God, or we're very special. So that false ego is very difficult to give up. Everything else, simple to give up comparatively, or not so simple. Because we can see that it is not so easy to perform austerities in Kali Yuga. It is not so easy to control our minds. It is not so easy to understand things properly. And what to speak of giving up our false ego? This idea that I am something special. I can become something special. Not that eternally I'm going to be a servant. As soon as we hear that, we think, oh, wait a second, I may have joined the wrong movement. Eternally submissive. Whatever they tell me I'm going to have to do, even I'm not going to have any free will to rebel, this is terrible. What we don't realize is that we can never rebel. It's not really possible to rebel. Any more than the prisoner in the cell was thinking I'm rebelling by being in the cell. I've shown the government, I'm not going to listen to them. Yes, you're not going to listen to the government, so they put you in the cell. So we may be convinced that we've rebelled and we've had a revolution against God and we're all here in ourselves. But actually we can't do one thing outside of what Krishna wants is, or the laws of nature are dictating to us. Instead we simply have to recognize that that is our position. We're by nature a servant, and that it's good to be a servant. It's better to be a servant than to be the master. That even the master wants to become a servant, because it's so nice to be a servant. The mellow of service is so nice that it induces the master to become a servant. So, following Krishna's directions. And what does Krishna want in the spiritual world? He simply wants everyone to be happy. So what is a nicer desire? If you're the master and your only desire is you're ordering everyone so they can become happy, so that everyone can become happy, isn't that a nice master? If that is your only desire? Just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us that Srimati Radharani, she wants to, her happiness is Krishna's happiness, and Krishna's happiness is her happiness. That she knows, or she doesn't even think of her own happiness, and because she doesn't think of her own happiness, therefore her happiness is 10 million times more than Krishna's happiness. When she experiences Krishna's happiness, she becomes more happy than Krishna's is. So it is not that we have to become happy by seeking our happiness. We become happier by seeking after someone else's happiness. That is real love. And that love produces happiness, which is happier, with more happiness than our beloved happiness is by our service. That may be a little hard to understand. In other words, by nature, everyone seeks after their happiness here. And because we seek after happiness, we're always unhappy. Because the very desire to be unhappy means that we're unhappy. Isn't that right? If we have to seek after happiness, that means that we're unhappy. Therefore, we pray to Lord Nityananda, Ha Ha Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi, Kripa Bolo Karo Kara, Amibhora Dukhi. I'm unhappy, therefore I'm seeking after happiness. But Srimati Radharani, she doesn't seek after her happiness at all. So that's inconceivable to us. Just like we ourselves are souls, just to give a perverted reflection of that, because it's something we have direct experience of. We're souls, but we never think of our happiness as a soul. Is that right? Our interest is a soul. We're so dedicated to this body that since time immemorial, or every body we've had, we haven't thought at all about our own happiness. We've only thought about the happiness of our body and mind. We're so submissive and surrendered. How romantic. So we've denied our own happiness since time immemorial, seeking after the happiness of this body and mind. Actually, we've done it for our happiness. But we've taken our happiness, our lovable, worshipful deity, as the different bodies we've received. Now thinking that if this body becomes happy, if this mind becomes happy, then I'll become happy. So we sought after our own happiness, and the result is we become miserable. But Srimati Radharani, she never thinks about her happiness, she only thinks about Krishna's happiness. And her mood of love makes Krishna happy. That's Ladini Shakti. It overwhelms Krishna, that mood that she has to make him happy. And when she feels his happiness that she's created, or intensified by her own desire, then her happiness becomes 10 million times more than Krishna's happiness. And she doesn't have to seek after it. And just her very mood of selfless loving service is so intense that it's full of pleasure. Just having that mood is pleasurable. And then being overwhelmed with Srimati Radharani's loving feelings and the happiness Lord Krishna's experienced because of that, he has all good qualities. His qualities increase, and Srimati Radharani is able to experience those qualities. Therefore, although we ourselves cannot develop that mood by ourselves, but by associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his Sankirtan movement, we can get direct experience of what that's like, what Srimati Radharani and her followers, that mood is, and by that association, that mood will be revoked or revived within ourselves, because that's our natural mood. It'll be uncovered again by their association through the parampara. Parampara meaning those who have that same mood of selfless service. And what is that mood of selfless service? That mood is spread in the Sankirtan movement. Sometimes we think spreading the Sankirtan movement means to become a big, big devotee. I have to become the most prominent devotee to spread the Sankirtan movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never said that. He said, Yari Deka Kartari Kaha Krishna Padesh Amara Aga Guru Taraha Hanatari Desh. Whoever you meet, just try to tell them something about Krishna. In this way, become their a spiritual master in the real sense of the term, and help to deliver this world. Help become an instrument. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. That is Krishna's desire. That his children wake up, go back to the spiritual world, develop the mood of loving service to him, rather than the mood of loving service to so many dead material bodies, which would simply kick them life after life. Anyone who participates in that parampara, try to assist through deity worship or book distribution or dance or art or whatever we can do to help people wake up to the fact that they're loving service of Krishna, that is participating in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission. Somehow or another, to participate, and in that way, Krishna will become pleased and give us the intelligence how to participate more and more in this Rasa Leela that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting this age. No one understood this more than His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He wanted to form a society based simply on these principles, to engage everyone in the Sankirtan movement and the glorification of Lord Krishna through the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. So that we can feel love and separation from Lord Krishna while we're spreading the Sankirtan movement, while we're participating. The six Goswamis, they participated in the Sankirtan movement, always feeling the separation from Krishna, always remembering Krishna's transcendental activities, both outside and within sight. Within themselves, they're always thinking of Krishna's pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and outside, they were seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's and Krishna's pastimes as they were spreading the Sankirtan movement, by writing books, by dancing in the Sankirtan movement. They were always absorbed within and without in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's and Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. So this is the opportunity offered to us to live in these societies of devotees who are dedicated to this philosophy. Sometimes we don't want to associate with other movements, but that means that we have to create a movement which is strictly based, or as much as possible, based upon Prabhupada's teachings. Prabhupada's teachings means the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami as they actually are. When Prabhupada created gurukuls, farm communities, book distribution, it is not some deviation. It is the mood. It is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as much as we follow in Prabhupada's footsteps and expand the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement so that it reaches people in a practical way, in a meaningful way, in a way that they can understand and appreciate, then the more we ourselves will become immersed in the mercy given to us by the previous acharyas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore be eligible to enter into the transcendental platform of experiencing the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. This is all in Prabhupada's books. There is one prominent devotee now who has a movement, and his followers are trying to sell his books, but they couldn't sell his books because people couldn't understand what was in his books. So that now they've gone back, I heard, to selling Prabhupada's books. Because people, they can understand what's in Prabhupada's books. So we have to understand what's in Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada talks about things like Vanashram. He talks about things like Gurukul. He talks about so many things. And as well as the tapos, feelings of love and separation. It is not many things Prabhupada's talking about. It is the same thing. But it is assimilated and presented to it, into us in a way that we can practically apply within our lives and enter into the rasa dance of Krishna even when we're doing seemingly ordinary activities. The gopis in Vrindavan were not always dancing the rasa dance. Sometimes they were churning curd. Sometimes they were sweeping their houses. They didn't think, oh, it's time for some mundane activity. Now we've got to sweep our house. How mundane. Well, now we've got to churn curd and cook and clean and, you know, why don't we become, give this all out and go out and preach, do something. No. They were always absorbed in the same feelings of love for Krishna, whatever they were doing. They dressed their bodies, they cleansed their bodies, not for their personal sense gratification, but thinking that when Krishna sees how nicely our bodies are dressed, how clean we are, then he'll take pleasure. Whatever they did was a selfless service to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was able to talk for years, how we're not this body. But was he thinking, oh, such low philosophy, such low level of philosophy. How boring. Now I'm going to tell people again, their bodies are changing, but they're a soul. Why don't I just find a few select people and talk about the Rasa Leela with them? No, Prabhupada took great transcendental ecstasy, telling people that they're not their body. Whatever he was doing in the Sankirtan movement, presenting it according to time, place, and audience, he didn't think, oh, here's another person, mundane, low person. No, wherever he looked, he saw Krishna's servants. He saw that he was the servant of them. And that his mission was to somehow or another try to help them revive their relation with Krishna. He didn't see anything but that. So he didn't think there was anything that was inferior in his desire and his mission to help elevate everyone personally, each person personally or collectively, back to reawaken their relation with Krishna. So in a very loving way, he did what was ever necessary to help devotees or persons individually or collectively revive their loving relation with Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada would talk for hours or days, philosophy, or he'd invent methods, or he'd present methods, strategies, techniques, philosophy, whatever was necessary, somehow or another, to reawaken people's awareness and dormant love of Krishna, and then re-invoke their dormant love for him. So this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. This is the mood of all his followers. This is the mood we're supposed to adopt. Our mood, if we're having any difficulty in our society, is because we're not understanding these things properly and putting them into a practice in a practical way. We don't have to add anything new. Well, first of all, we should just revive what Prabhupada has already presented to us. And then if there's something new, then Krishna and Prabhupada will present that to us. Of course, this movement is successful to some degree because we are following Prabhupada's instructions to some degree. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. But it will become more and more successful the more we appreciate what Prabhupada has given to us. And then Krishna will give us more and more intelligence, so we'll be able to appreciate it more and more and in a practical way manifest it. So, go on a little bit more. I'm supposed to stop it. So, thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
You mentioned you presented this image of love for the steep principles of science. But isn't in a sense this material world also a steep of love because it's punishing you?
Yes. But the difference is that God with a stick has a smile on his face. Not a smile out of being not a sardistic smile, but a loving smile. He's arranged the material nature in such a way is that the kicking is for our benefit. The stick is for our benefit. That a loving father tries to discipline his son, but the son won't listen to him because that's the relationship. He's too much familiarity. Therefore, he gives him over to a chastising agent to rectify him for his own benefit. So God has his agent hitting us, but for our benefit. So we wake up out of this nightmare that we're suffering from. The more we become dulled by the material nature, the harder the kick has to be. Otherwise, we don't recognize it. If you take a garland and hit it against an elephant, the elephant won't pay any attention. You need something else. So when we become dulled by the material nature, the stick has to become a little harder, that's all. Otherwise, we don't recognize it. It's like people are suffering in the material world, but they're so dull, they don't realize they're suffering. They think they're making progress. Clean air, fresh water, nice food, nice relationships, that's material sense gratification. But where's the clean water? Where's the fresh air? Where's the nice food? Where are the nice relationships? There is none. They're disappearing, whatever little there is. And they think they're making progress in sense gratification. Therefore, the stick has to be there. Because otherwise, all the lying propaganda and everything else is convincing people that they're actually making progress when they're going to hell. But God's stick has to be, He has the sticks because we become so dull.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your wonderful explanations. My question is...
Hopefully not my explanation. Whatever explanation I gave, you can try to forget about.
To come back to Lord Chaitanya's, I hear sometimes devotees telling me that there is a planet where Lord Chaitanya is, and there may be an Avadvipoka or something where devotees speak Bengali and so on and so forth.
Actually, well, I don't know if they speak Bengali there.
In Sri Prabhupada's books, we can read that we have to go back home, back to Aden, especially to Krishna Loka. So, what is your view of that?
We are in Krishna Loka. This is Krishna Loka. This is the embassy. We don't have to go anywhere. We just have, except we have to come to the transcendental platform. But there is an abode, part of Goloka Vrindavan is Navadvipa, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, eternally performing his pastimes of healing separation with his devotees from Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So that goes on eternally. So there's different divisions of Goloka Vrindavan. One of them is Navadvipa, the other one is Gokul. So just like there are different divisions here, there's the Navadvipa part of our altar, and then there's the Goloka Vrindavan pastime of our altar. So these divisions are here too. It's the mood as we. What's that? Yes, in Jagannath Puri pastime. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing for Lord Jagannath, bringing him back to Vrindavan in the middle there. Anything else? Yes.
So how do we make the final push towards the real service and not just sense gratification?
Follow your authorities. Follow your authorities. Understand what the mission is, and then find someone to be your master. Find many devotees to be your master and serve them. Become as much as possible a servant of the servants right in front of you. You don't have to become a servant. You'll be a servant of all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servants if you serve the devotees right who are right in front of you, or behind you, or beside you, whatever. Find out how to serve them, and then serve them. And if you don't know how to serve them, then take instructions from them, so you'll find out how to serve. The main problem is we usually think, as devotees, I'm a servant of one devotee. And the other ones, they're not really devotees, because there's only one real devotee in this movement, me. And everyone else is more or less a pretender. But there's one other person who maybe gave me initiation. I more or less think he might be a devotee also. Therefore, when he tells me to do something, I try to do it as much as I can. I'm a very nice devotee. No, we have to. We take initiation, or we become a servant of the other devotees, to learn how to become a servant of all the devotees, not only of the devotees, but of the innocent people in general. Actually, our real service is to Krishna. Our only service is to Krishna. But to learn how to become a servant of Krishna, service to Krishna also means service to his devotees. And service to his more elevated devotees means that we learn how to become a servant of all the devotees. And not only the devotees, we learn how to make other people into devotees. And we learn how to not get entangled with the non-devotees, become influenced by them. Therefore, we have to learn this philosophy and apply it. And then we'll apply it, we'll feel ourselves be a servant. The more we feel ourselves be a servant of Krishna's devotees, the more they are pleased by our actual service to Krishna, then the more we'll make advancement. And the more we feel ourselves independent, that I'm something special here, then the more we remain wherever we're at. Or we may go the other way too. The more we think ourselves to be special devotee, rather than an instrument to be predecessor Sharas. Anything else? Just like now, sometimes we have this liberation. Everyone wants to be liberated. We have the women's liberation, we have the men's liberation, we have the Gurukul liberation, we have so many different. In the DVC, they started to form all kinds of ministries because everyone wanted a ministry, a voice in our society. But actually, the only real voice should be to give up our false ego, that we're none of these things, we're simply the servants. Unfortunately, because everyone is thinking ourselves to be so many different things, therefore we feel we need a voice. But the real voice is to become a servant of the servants of the servants of Krishna. That there's no position in the Sankirtan movement better or worse from any other position. They're all equal. It's all based upon some mood of selfless service. We see that those who have the most seemingly exalted positions, the great leaders in our society who are glorified and whatever, they had the most difficult position. They fell down because they thought they were great leaders and great controllers and even enjoyers of the Sankirtan movement. And those who have felt themselves insignificant, simply servants of the servants, they're still here as servants trying to develop a mood of service of the servants. Sometimes we find that if I'm in a big position, my false ego also gets equally as big as my position. And if I'm not in a big position, I'm simply, you know, everyone's telling me you're a servant of the servants, not actually feeling like that, then I'm actually making some advancement, spiritual life. And as soon as I start becoming envious or hankering for some other position, then my position as servant of the servant gets covered over. Anything else? Actually, we'll end early. Thank you very much. Granthara Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.